Places are like people. They change as they age. Some, York, Bath, Edinburgh, sit comfortably in their longevity. Others take pride in reinventing themselves. Manchester's Northern Quarter, Liverpool around the docks. But what if your longevity is not that long and reinvention feels like it's left you behind?
In the 2019 indices of multiple deprivation, Middlesbrough was in the sort of lowest 10% around long-term health, child poverty, worklessness and crime.
I'm David Baker, and I grew up in Middlesbrough, in the northeast of England. In its heyday, the town was a powerhouse of shipbuilding and steel.
Dormond Long from here, and then later Teesside Bridge and Cleveland Bridge, built bridges in all the continents of the world.
But when all that industry closed, it fell into decline.
I see more and more people struggling. People going without gas, electric. They can't feed the kids.
And that's a story that's taking place in many towns and cities across the United Kingdom. So for this episode of Analysis, I've gone back to my hometown to find out how small post-industrial places like Middlesbrough can pull themselves out of what can often feel like an unstoppable decline. My guide on a windy February morning is Rob Nichols. He's known as Mr. Middlesbrough, plays lead guitar in a post-punk band, and edits the Middlesbrough Football Club fanzine. And there's probably no one who knows the town and its history better than him.
1830, it was like a farm on the river. You've heard of the Stockton and Darlington Railway, which was founded in 1825. That was basically built as a way of exporting coal from the Durham coal fields. Within a couple of years, they realised they needed to be closer to the sea, and that's where Middlesbrough was founded. It was just a farmhouse before that, 25 people.
That population of 25 soon grew when iron was found in the Cleveland Hills to the west of the town. That led to shipbuilding and heavy engineering serving the needs of the expanding British Empire. In the 20th century came chemical works, and by 1960, Middlesbrough was a prosperous town with a handsome civic centre and a strong sense of local pride.
Middlesbrough. Molten iron, the lifeblood of the British steel industry, is produced in large quantities at this Teesside blast furnace. Recently, steel output was given a boost by the introduction of new, safe transportation methods for the white-hot iron.
But by the end of the last century, all of that industry was in decline. And the final blow came with the closure of the town's last steelworks in 2015.
They call it the heart of Teesside. People have worked in the local steel industry for generations. Now some 1,700 of them are being made redundant.
The steelworks was the key to it all, really, and that has unravelled.
Because of overseas competition, I think, wasn't it? Other steel coming in from abroad.
Yeah, much cheaper. But when the blast furnace closes down, then everything's dependent on that. And you've got all the other industries feeding off it. When I was brought up, everyone at school, they could either go and work in the shipyards or the chemical industry or the steel industry. And that was just finishing, really, around the time when I was at school at the end of the 70s even. I guess my sort of era, people were going away to university and staying away.
Which is exactly what I did. I mean, we're a very similar age, you know, and as soon as I went to university, I thought there was opportunities elsewhere. At times, it didn't really feel like there was going to be a future here. Was that how you felt? Because you obviously stayed.
Yeah, I did stay. For me, I didn't want to go somewhere else that I didn't belong. I didn't want to go to some sort of faceless, shapeless sort of conurbation somewhere that I didn't understand. You can certainly understand Middlesbrough. You could certainly understand Teesside. And you can see that time and time again, it overcame the hurdles in front of it, and it would do it again.
Mrs. Thatcher's visit, kept secret to the last moment, began on a derelict industrial site in Teesside.
For pretty much as long as I can remember, central government has been trying to rescue Teesside's fortunes. In 1987, Margaret Thatcher came to the area for a photo shoot known as the Walk in the Wilderness. There are pictures of her picking her way through rubble on the site of what used to be Head Wrightson, a big engineering company. And that led to the first of a series of development corporations that would put public money into the area in an attempt to attract inward investment. But that was decades ago. The town is now on its third development corporation, and in many ways, it's in a worse state than it was then. Tell us a little bit about this street where we're standing, because I think when you and I were kids in this town, this was a really bustly, lots and lots of shops, a lot of people bustling up and down. It's a bit quieter now.
Yeah, absolutely. 5 years ago, we were looking at the House of Fraser, bins as it was.
Yeah, that's where it says it's all boarded up now and everything, yeah?
Yeah, and if we were to walk around the corner, we would see Marks and Spencer's, which closed its store here in the middle of last year. I obviously go around the country watching Borough, and I'm going to smaller towns perhaps, and I'm seeing the same sort of pattern around the country, and it's absolute disaster for towns. It's quite hard on the morale of people. You feel like what you're left is with second best, and now you've got to go outside of the town for all these things.
There's a big new shopping complex outside.
Yeah. And because we have really bad public transport here as well. So if you haven't got a car, you've got so much problems getting anywhere.
And why do you think there are, let's face it, relatively few companies coming here and setting up?
Well, obviously it has a terrible image, which becomes like a vicious circle, doesn't it? We need something that people attract people in.
One thing Middlesbrough is doing to attract people to the town is establishing a vibrant art scene.
I'm Sally Rogers, and I'm an artist working in the field of sound and electronic music. We're sitting in the Middlesbrough Institute of Modern Art, MIMA, which is the big gallery here in the centre of town. We also have Sonic Arts Week, we have Middlesbrough Art Week, and all sorts of beautiful exhibitions here.
Sally grew up in Middlesbrough, but left when she was in her teens to pursue a career in music. She came back 7 years ago, and with her bandmate Steve Jones, made an album inspired by what she sees as the area's post-industrial glory.
One of my favourites is a track called Starlings, which is about starlings pecking around the bins and the car parks and the crows and the gulls. We were always in love with that scenery, that Jurassic coastline, but it is bordered by this very heavy industry. There's a rugged quality to it. But I think when you come back, you realise the characteristics of the people are kind of forged in you somehow. And I'd be very happy if that were true. They're very stoic. There's a real spirit in Middlesbrough and Teesside. You know, they're very resilient. They're very funny. They're very stoic. I mean, there's horrific things like the child poverty here is the worst in Britain, and the crime and all sorts of things. But there's something that the arts scene here contributes. Quite often people don't even know where Middlesbrough is. You know, Newcastle is a big cultural hub. Leeds is a retail hub. And Middlesbrough doesn't really have that destination quality. And I do think it's about having a creative life, but also learning how to sell that. And that's what I feel Middlesbrough is starting to do.
Back in the north of the town, Rob's brought us to the place where it all began.
We're right here on the deep water of the River Tees, and this is where, in 1911, they built the Transporter Bridge.
This is what we're seeing right in front of us here, this enormous blue metal structure. But this also sort of spurred a sort of focus on Middlesbrough as a centre of bridge building, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Dorman Long from here, and then later Teesside Bridge and Cleveland Bridge, built bridges in all the continents of the world. There's one next to Victoria Falls in Africa, Istanbul. Of course, the famous Sydney Harbour Bridge has a plaque on it saying made in Middlesbrough. And that's incredible. Anyone going to Australia has a sense of pride that there's a piece of Middlesbrough.
For a long time, this part of the town was a kind of no-go area. Very poor housing, shabby streets. But now all of that is gone. The old civic buildings and warehouses have been cleaned up. And set amongst landscape parks is Boho, a community of gleaming modern workspaces and pod-like homes that could be in Amsterdam or Stockholm. And that's a sign of a new Middlesbrough that looks not back, but to the future.
Some of these old buildings here are now part of a Boho, which was originally a partnership between the university in Middlesbrough, Teesside University, and the council, in the idea that people could set up their starter businesses in Middlesbrough, and that is very much keeping people here.
We've come to the campus of Teesside University, and it's a big open plaza surrounded by wonderful curved modern architecture, and you can really get a sense of curiosity and enterprise here. And when I was a kid, this was Teesside Polytechnic, and it was nothing like this. This has really changed. And we've come here to meet some of the university students to find out about the impact the university has had on the town.
I'm Amy Hunter. I'm studying for an MSc, pre-registration adult nursing. I think, especially with the younger people in Middlesbrough, I find that there's a lot more passion in them now. They can see the work that's been going on in the town. I mean, we're always going to have people who are going to want to leave the area, but I hope that the youth can see that there's some really, really great opportunities right here in Middlesbrough.
I'm Lauren Heslop and I'm studying MA Digital Media and Communications at Teesside University, and I work here too. I think what's changed since you obviously ventured into your career, David, is that Teesside's kind of become this land of opportunity, so it's a key destination for things like digital, all things technology.
Steve Dugan, the university's tellingly named head of enterprise, says the Boho development that Rob showed us up by the Tees came about thanks to a clever decision that the university took about 10 years ago.
Back in the noughties, we were a pioneering institution for virtual reality, video games, education, animation. One of the first universities in the UK to teach video games as an academic discipline.
Where would Middlesbrough be now if there wasn't for the university?
I think it'd be a very different place. It would still be that town struggling to come to terms with its post-industrial heritage. And you certainly wouldn't see the graduate jobs that stay in the region. That's the other important point, is that Teesside University's talent often remains in Teesside, buying cars, buying homes, and spending their salaries in the cafes and bars of the region. They're not drifting to Leeds, Manchester, London, which would have been their destination in the past.
On the edge of the university campus is an old school building that's been converted into Launchpad, a business incubator for Teesside graduates. And many of the startup companies here are working in digital media.
Thank you very much indeed.
So this is our new game that we've been developing over the last month.
Okay.
And so you play as a hamster in a hamster bowl with guns.
We have a winner. What a finish.
Among them is video gaming company Dink, that's already scored some serious commercial successes. 24-year-old Ollie Lloyd is Dink's co-founder and COO.
I came to Teesside for university, but I'm from way down south, Brighton way. Being in Middlesbrough is good for us because we get access to the university. They send out really good students. It's a big games hub. You have studios like Rad Forge, Double 11, and like the social aspect is kind of what makes the games hub better because it's such a tight-knit bunch of people who know kind of what's going on. Whereas like, you know, if you were down on London, London's such a big area with so many studios. So I think the development that the uni's bringing as well is like, it's expanding Middlesbrough. You know, we are moving to a more digital era.
Does that reach everyone? If you're an older person in Grangetown or something, is that going to reach them?
I think, oh God, I don't go there. I'd stick to the main town.
Despite the entrepreneurial buzziness of places like Launchpad, not everyone is benefiting. In one of those places that Ollie hasn't been to, a much more run-down part of Middlesbrough, in the south of the town, we've come to somewhere that's helping people who are finding it difficult to make ends meet. This is the Genesis Project, which provides low-cost food and essentials to anyone who needs them in the area. What is life like in Middlesbrough at the moment?
Absolutely shocking. We're like coming to food banks and stuff like that just to try and survive. Like,
do you think the situation's getting better
getting
or
worse,
getting...
getting worse.
What do you see that's getting worse?
There's not many jobs out there to get, so obviously people are like going out and like pinching and stuff like that, and obviously that's like all they're on drugs and they're feeding the rabbit that way. At the minute I'm unemployed, but I've only been out of work 3 weeks. So like, yeah, but I've normally been employed since I've been 18. I'm 29 now. I used to work in Tesco in the warehouse, but obviously, because the figures have gone down in Tesco, obviously I've lost my job, so now I'm like beg, borrowing and stealing, just trying to get myself by.
We've seen in the centre of town the big museum, and then down towards the river there's all those pods of businesses and everything. Is that helping the town, do you think?
Yeah, but what's the point in like building a big art thing when you could just pump it back into the community? Youth clubs or stuff?
Do you think life here in Middlesbrough is on the way up or on the way down?
No, it's down. I see more and more people struggling. People going without gas, electric. They can't feed the kids, though, because I can't sit. No, like even nursery school and all the hungry kids. Kids in secondary school, they can't concentrate because of the hunger pains. I've seen it firsthand. Kids going to school in dirty uniforms because the mothers can't afford to wash them.
I can see that's really upsetting you.
Yes, it does.
What do you think could be done to change the situation?
Them in frigging government want to live in our lifestyle. Not for a week or a month, for a year. They need to live in our shoes. And also I seen on the telly the other day, what to call our Prime Minister?
Rishi Sunak.
Right, him. Piers Morgan betted him a grand. And he took that bet live on telly. Now he can do that at the blink of an eye, you know, like a grand. People don't have that. No, like normal people like us don't get money like that.
Back at the university, I met Natasha Vowell, who's a historian and dean at the School of Social Sciences, and who's been thinking hard about how to make the benefits of regeneration reach everyone in the town.
The idea is that there's a trickle-down effect, but the evidence that that's been really successful is fairly limited. As with elsewhere, although perhaps more pronounced in the sort of Tees Valley area, you have really kind of superficial regeneration on the ribbon of the river or the ribbon of the coast, but it doesn't really penetrate back into the town centres and doesn't affect change further down the chain.
Middlesbrough has been on the receiving end of a number of grants from the government's Town Fund and similar initiatives that are part of its levelling up agenda. But for Natasha, there's an issue with how that money is allocated in the first place.
If you look at the data, the Tees Valley's done quite well out of that government money compared to other towns, but they tend to be capital funding and they tend to be time bound. So there's an expectation that you'll have an oven ready project that can just be delivered to those timescales, and it isn't thought about holistically at all.
And one challenge is that a lot of that government money has to be applied for on a yearly basis. Just off what used to be Middlesbrough's bustling high street, now the site of a sizeable number of boarded up shops, is a grid of streets where once there were houses, but now there are just some rubble-strewn car parks. Chris Cook is Middlesbrough's mayor.
Quite a few years ago now, the government had provided money for essentially mass-scale regeneration. The houses were demolished, but then the funding was pulled. Those communities felt that the council had taken away housing for nothing. We shouldn't have to think, is this funding going to exist next year? We should get 10-year funding agreements for things like that.
The way levelling up money is allocated is pretty opaque. Some of it comes as a result of competitive bids put in by councils. Other funds are assessed on a needs basis and a final decision by ministers. But either way, there is a constant tussle between central government and local councils over how much funding each area gets. And that's led people to call for Middlesbrough to merge with other local towns to become a city, which would have about the same population as Belfast. What does Natasha Vowell think of that idea?
Middlesbrough's made some attempts to be the main town in the Tees Valley, but it's just not probably demographically quite large enough. I mean, I could say slightly controversially, if you combined Middlesbrough, Stockton and Redcar, you'd probably be looking at something that looked a bit more viable.
Why is that controversial?
Oh, because local political rivalries. We've got five local authorities who, because of the funding structure actually for regeneration, are all having to bid against each other to support the regeneration in their towns.
In fact, Middlesbrough, Stockton and Redcar, along with two other towns in the area, are already part of the Tees Valley Combined Authority, which was set up in 2015 and whose flagship policy is the development of a freeport on the Tees.
When I look to the future of Teesside, I see old industrial sites being used to capture and store carbon, vaccines being manufactured, offshore wind turbines creating clean energy for the rest of the country, all located within a free port.
The project has become controversial over allegations of cronyism. Michael Gove commissioned a report which found no evidence of wrongdoing but criticised a lack of transparency. But what is a free port anyway?
A zone, a space around the port area which has munificent tax and customs regulations, so that the intention is that it's going to be easier to trade. Trade will be frictionless, that opportunities beyond Europe can be opened up because, you know, you might be able to cut down on the bureaucracy relating to customs tax, etc. I suppose the thinking here is that that will contribute to some redistribution, which is, you know, what the levelling up agenda is about.
Ever since Margaret Thatcher's walk in the wilderness, the primary aim of central government when it comes to regenerating places like Middlesbrough has been the creation of jobs, with the idea that prosperity will naturally flow from increased employment. That's very much the hope of those behind the Freeport, for example. But Natasha advocates for an alternative bottom-up approach that she says focuses on the specific needs of each community.
Bring your major stakeholders to the table right at the beginning. Of course, your political stakeholders, but your community groups, your local business leaders, your university, and you bring them together in some kind of structure that allows us to make those decisions.
And involving more people could help with the problem of money not trickling down. Just a 10-minute drive from the university's gleaming campus is East Middlesbrough, where there are still swathes of poorly maintained housing and high unemployment.
It's not just all about the town centre. It's got to then spread into the kind of more hard-to-reach areas. We've got real-life local people in these areas, and we're letting them down.
Gary Hamilton has lived in East Middlesbrough all of his life. In 2017, he decided to do something about the decline of his neighbourhood, in particular the loss of council-run community centres.
I'm 45 now, so yeah, growing up it was a totally different kind of town. We used to have community facilities where we would go with our friends, engage in loads of activity. I've seen a lot of facilities shutting down, so then I made a conscious decision to say, right, I need to stop this.
Gary spent 2 years writing a business plan and then got the council's go-ahead to take over one of the centres and find investment to open it up again.
It was really bad, bad state of repair. It was like a jail. It had barriers over the windows, metal barriers. And honestly, you look at now, we've got windows open and you'll go out the back and there's a play area. We built a five-a-side football pitch out there.
And now he runs four centres in the East Middlesbrough area, with a busy timetable of activities for local residents.
Today we've got community bingo on, indoor bowls, salsa dancing, and then our boxing club comes in, the judo club comes in. So this is constant, this is over 7 days. And for us to be operating it and making decisions on how we can improve life within the community, I'm really pleased, I'm really happy.
That kind of grassroots, entrepreneurial approach to regeneration is something Michael Heseltine, now Lord Heseltine, spent much of his political career trying to bring about. In 1981, as Secretary of State for the Environment, he set up the London Docklands Development Corporation, and then a similar body in Liverpool. And that led to development corporations being established in more than a dozen towns and cities in the UK, including the two that are currently active in Teesside. The key, he says, is to empower decision-making as much as possible down to a local level and to be ready for the unexpected.
You will find it often impossible to predict the way that partnership will unfold. If I had predicted that the Urban Development Corporation in the East End of London would lead to the Dome, the Olympics, City Airport and Canary Wharf, I would have been locked up.
Part of that devolution involves the creation of local mayors, such as on Teesside, Tees Valley's Ben Houchen, who, he says, have much more clout in negotiations with central government. And Lord Heseltine would like to see more of them.
We've got more than 200 authorities we don't need. we should have about 60. They should be unitary, and they should all have a directly elected leader called a mayor.
When he was a minister, he says, he faced opposition from some on the right of his party who argued that the state shouldn't be involved in regenerating places, that that should be the job of the market. And indeed, since Margaret Thatcher did that walk in the wilderness in 1987, governments have poured money into post-industrial places like Middlesbrough, and there's still widespread deprivation in the town. Which prompts an awkward question that hovers above all this talk of enterprise, inward investment, digital hubs and unitary authorities. Why do we regenerate places? Why don't we just let them shrink again?
I mean, is there no morality? Is there no sense of purpose? Is there no understanding of the Churchillian net above which all are free to rise, below which none are free to fall? Why are you in public life? That was the question I found the answer to in Liverpool in 1981. And indeed, the most chilling intervention I remember at the time. Why are you spending all that time in Liverpool? There are no votes for us there. As though that was a convincing argument. Horrific.
Middlesbrough has a long way to go before it's able to reach the heights of its glory days. But you can sense that the town's fortunes are changing. That money that's come from central government is helping, though as we've heard, it would help even more if it was more predictable. There are hopes that the Freeport will create jobs. And things like the digital hub, the buzzy art scene, and grassroots initiatives like Gary Hamilton's community centres are making the town more appealing. But what struck me most in our time here was the fact that all of these initiatives were underpinned by an almost unmatched sense of resilience and optimism in the people who live here. Everyone we met making this programme had a fierce attachment to the town and a strong sense of what Middlesbrough could be that seemed to transcend the reality of its sometimes bleak and windswept streets. And it really feels that at the heart of it all, it's that energy that will in the end pull towns out of their decline. Chris Cook, Middlesbrough's mayor.
We always talk about the fact that we built the world, and I do sort of think that there is something about Middlesbrough that is just special. When people talk about the Tees Valley, and I know I'm biased, Middlesbrough is the place where people think of. I believe that we will be one of the leading figures in how we get things back on track.